As you think of Easter, what comes to your mind? For the man running a store, perhaps it's increased profit. For many of you ladies, you may be thinking in terms of, well, it means a new hat or a new Easter dress. And for children, often it's an Easter egg hunt. It's getting candies of various sorts. But I'd like to think for a little bit this morning with you about what Easter means to me. First of all, it means that Christ's claims are true. The Lord Jesus made some amazing, wonderful claims. And the Easter message means that his claims are true. Now let me read first of all in Matthew 16 and verse 21. From that time began Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and the third day be raised up. Now here the Lord Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's predicting his death. He says, I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to endure many things. I'm going to be abused. I'm going to finally be killed. And then he says, the third day, I'm going to rise. And he promises here, he predicts here, that he will rise the third day after he has died, after he has been killed. This is just one of his many claims that are fantastic. I think of his claim in John chapter 8 and verse 58, where he's speaking to a number of the Jews. They're questioning him. They're finding fault with him. They're contradicting him. They say he has a demon. And the Lord Jesus says to them in verse 58, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am. And here he claims to be eternal. Here he claims to be have been in existence before Abraham was born. And Abraham was born 2,000 years approximately before he was saying this. And yet the Lord Jesus looked at those people and he says, before Abraham came into existence, I am. I'm the eternal one. I'm without beginning and without end. And no wonder, as they heard these words, they thought he was mad. No wonder they said he's a demon. No wonder they said, let's stone him. He's blaspheming. Because if this is not true, of course, the whole claim is ridiculous. And he was insane. He claimed to forgive sins. In Luke chapter 5, we read of how a man was brought to him who was lame, who was a cripple, and they brought this man to Jesus. They lowered him down. They were so anxious to get the man to him that they went up on the roof and lowered this man who was crippled down right in front of him where he was teaching. The crowd was so thick around the building that they couldn't bring him through. And then as they let him down right before the Lord Jesus, he said, man, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And those who were religious teachers around there began to say, who is this that speaks such evil things, such blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But he claimed to forgive sins. And either that claim is true or it's ridiculous. Only God can forgive sins. Only the God who is the judge of all man has the right to acquit a man and to forgive him his sins. And here the Lord Jesus, as he stood and talked to these people and saw this man who was a cripple before him, he said to him, your sins are forgiven. And then to prove it, he raised him. He healed him. The Lord Jesus claimed that people would die in their sins unless they believed all he said about himself. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, he's speaking, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Unless you believe I am the one that I claim to be, the Son of God, the Savior, the Eternal One. God in a human form, unless you believe this, he says you will die in your sins. There's no hope for you, Jesus said, unless you believe that I'm all that I claim to be. You'll die in your sins. He doesn't say here, I'm just one of the ways. He doesn't say, I'm just one of many saviors. There are many ways, many good ways. It doesn't matter what you believe. I'm just one. He doesn't say this at all. He said, unless you believe that I am he, that I am the Savior, that I'm the Son of God, that I am all that I claim to be, you will die in your sins and there will never be any hope for you. You will be forever separated from God. Tremendous claim. You know, as I think of the resurrection, I'm so thankful because this verifies all the claims of the Lord Jesus. Every one of them is true. If he's risen, and I believe, he rose on that third day and showed himself, even as the accounts give us. He proved to his disciples that he was risen by time and again showing himself to them. Now, there's something else that I believe his resurrection proves. It proves that his death for sin is acceptable to God, to the Father. It proves that God is satisfied with what Christ has done. The Lord Jesus predicted his death. He said that he was going to die for sinners. He said he would rise on the third day. As he hung on the cross, there's suffering that terrible death. As he came to the time when he was going to die, actually give up his life, he cried a loud cry, John tells us, and he said, it is finished. It's finished. And he didn't say, I am finished, but he said, it is finished. The work of paying for sin, the work of suffering, the substitutionary death for sinners was completed. The Lord Jesus said, I've finished the work that you've given me to do. He told this to the Father. It's finished. And when God raised him from the dead, God was saying, I accept the work of the Lord Jesus. I accept the work of Jesus completely. I'm satisfied with this. It is finished. And the sinner who will trust my Son can have all his sins put away. It is finished. So that here the death of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection now are completely accepted by the Father. And that empty tomb is the stamp of approval of God. This is God saying, I accept completely what Jesus has done. I find no fault in it. And the Father has now taken him and put him at his right hand in the place of power and honor. The work of the cross is completely accepted. Now, you remember on the cross, while he hung there, people were ridiculing him, mocking him. They were saying, oh, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross and we'll believe on you. They said, he saved others, himself he can't save. They said, let him come down now. If God wants to have him, why doesn't he deliver him? He made all these claims, but he's dying in weakness and shame. It's obvious God doesn't care for him. He's a fraud, he's a fake, he's an imposter. But the resurrection, that empty tomb, is God saying in notes of thunder, I do accept my Son. I do stand behind him. He's all he claimed to be. He's the Son of God. Romans 1:4 says that he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And so Christ's resurrection here is God's stamp of approval in a striking way upon all that he claimed to be. It's God the Father saying, I approve, I accept his death on the cross. This is part of my plan. This pleases me. This delights me. Now, Christ's resurrection also is very wonderful to me because as I think of his resurrection, I realize this is the proof that all who put their confidence in Christ will one day be raised. You know, death is the great enemy. It's the enemy before which strong men fear and tremble, this enemy of death. Because when it's time to die, regardless of your wealth, regardless of the strength and vigor you may have had in earlier years, when it's time to die, you give up in weakness. You struggle, but you have to give in. Finally, you must die. And there's the funeral, there's the burial. Death has come in. But for the Christian, the Lord Jesus said in John 5:11-25, he's speaking here to Martha, and he said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes on me shall never die. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the source of life. I'm the one who can bring life to those who are dead. And he says here, if you will believe, if you believe in me, if you accept me, if you trust me, if you have confidence in me, if you accept my claims and my person, if you believe I died for you on that cross, if you believe, he says, then though you die, the day is coming when you are going to live, you're going to be raised, you're going to be given a new resurrection body. This is the wonderful hope for Christians. I hope this morning that you've accepted the Lord Jesus and that you can say, well, I know that when I die, if I die before the Lord Jesus comes back, I know that when I die, there is resurrection ahead. I know that when Christ comes back, I'm going to be raised. I'm going to be with him forever. This is the blessed hope. In 1 Thessalonians 4, we read these words. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wonderful promise for the Christian. The resurrection of Christ is the assurance, the promise that we have that one day we will be raised and be with him forever. Oh, I do hope this morning that you've accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that you can say, I know him, I love him, I trust him, he is my Savior.